preparation for a new earthly life. Taken from The Spiritual World 4 2023. When an ascending spirit is about to be reincarnated in a new human life, they are educated by spirits of God on the conditions they will encounter in their upcoming earthly existence. They are told what the divine world expects of them, the tests they must pass as a human being, the goals they must achieve. Today, in affluent, technologically advanced societies, both the tasks as well as the dangers and temptations are different than in previous centuries, when the lives of most people were shaped by great poverty and hunger. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, we value the regular attendance at these services. We appreciate those friends who come here regularly. We also appreciate those friends who conscientiously read the journal. But we also appreciate those friends who express their bond with this community through membership. This creates a more intimate contact, a friendship between you and us. Indeed, it is an avowal. And so we want to be good friends to you. We want not only to support you in the difficulties of your life, rather, it is chiefly in the world beyond where our support comes into play. You will then be grateful when you are led forward by spirits of God with a steady hand and a sure step. Just as you acknowledge this connection here, so will the spirits of God acknowledge you. They will stand by you and support you, just as one supports a good friend who needs help. All of you who have an intimate connection with us will receive this help. We are well aware how much must be overcome to arrive at this heartfelt attitude toward us. But we also know how many doubts arise here and there in one person or another. These are tests, and one person emerges from this test successfully, another fails. Some are loyal to us for a certain period of time, and suddenly they turn away from us, they abandon the good friend, they do not value him or her. They should not then be surprised when this friendship is no longer nurtured by the spiritual world, when they are not welcomed and guided by the spiritual world in the same way as are those who had an alliance with it. Many are unable to properly grasp what it means. But those who always muster the energy to come here regularly will also receive their reward. I would like to say that for the delight of all those who do so. But even those who live far away can be intimately united with us in spirit, those who are unable to come here but who would so dearly like to attend the services in person. It depends entirely on the ardency, on the longing, on the diligence. They can receive the same share as those who come here. But this is meant only for those who are unable to attend regularly. If people actually knew what they receive here, if they could see how much they benefit from it, but only if they could see it, then they would certainly not be absent. But since they see nothing and since life anyway moves forward, they choose the easy way. So, on one occasion they use this as an excuse for not attending the services, and on another occasion they use some other excuse. But that is a matter for each individual, they will experience it later. And it is certainly a good and beautiful thing when those who are always in attendance here also receive a special reward, a special grace, and when they are one day led upward without hesitation by a spirit of God with a steady hand and a sure step. Now, dear brothers and sisters, time and again you hear something from us about Goda TMS order, about the spiritual laws. We are able to present them to you by means of examples. In this hour also I would again like to give you an insight into the divine laws. And so I will tell you about a man who lived on earth about 300 years ago. He had a good heart, he was helpful, the spirit world of God was pleased with him. He had a large number of children at home as well as his own parents, for whom he also had to provide. He made a living as a day laborer, and this is how he had to provide for his family. When he returned to the world beyond, he was rewarded for having conscientiously carried out his work. This conscientiousness was rewarded to the extent possible, because he had diligently looked for work. This cannot be compared to today. Today, it is certain that no human being would be rewarded for having conscientiously gone about their work. This is a matter of course nowadays. If a human being wants to live a comfortable, pleasant, and nice life, they must work. What is more, should they not hold down a job, they would offend society at TMS norms. In their spiritual world there is, therefore, no longer a reward for conscientiously attending to any TMS work. But in those days, at the time when this man lived, one was rewarded for it, because there was not this earthly wealth that there is today. Back then it was not so easy to always find work. It was also the case that a person would have only one set of Sunday clothes throughout their whole life, and this outfit, which would perhaps be worn for the first time at their wedding, would eventually be taken to the grave. These clothes were cared for, they had to last an entire lifetime. This was a near TMS Sunday best, which one would take to the grave. At the time when this man lived, he did not face the test of abstaining from a life of excessive indulgence. One could not succumb to gambling or infidelity. These many tests that are given to human beings today were not faced by people back then, or only by a very few. That is why industriousness was rewarded, hard work, diligence in providing for a near TMS family, this was rewarded. How lonely and simple life was back then. Those people did not encounter as many temptations as today, and these great demands were not placed on them. They had other things to contend with, there were other difficulties. But what was of importance even at that time, and has remained so to this day, was service to others. One had to support a near TMS neighbor, because back then there were natural disasters and various other catastrophes, disease, epidemics and such like. One depended on the help of a near TMS neighbor and was grateful for it. And in earlier times one was more willing to assist others and to give from the little one had. After all, those people possessed nothing of value, and so they could not be tested in this respect, whether they would be so generous and tolerant. Their stinginess could indeed be tested to some extent, but back then materialism could not come to expression in the way that it can today. People were not subject to as many temptations in this respect. So, many people had a good heart, because in many places there was hardship, and one shared near TMS fate with others. After all, people did not have this medical care that there is today. People lived simply, very simply, but they were able to be content in their simplicity. Indeed, they knew nothing else. And when they entered the spiritual world, and this goodness of heart and conscientiousness could be seen in them, which they demonstrated through their hard work, then this was rewarded. Because even back then there were people who were work shy. It was also not so easy to find work every day. People did not have these comfortable modes of transport like today. They would have to walk for days on end. It was arduous, it was not easy. And because it was bound up with struggle, those who demonstrated diligence were rewarded at that time, and punishment awaited those who were unwilling and work shy. For it was certainly not to every near TMS liking to walk long distances to find work. The spirit I am talking about, with whom the spirit world of God was pleased, who had provided for a family with many children as well as for his parents, was rewarded in the spiritual world. And he was able to ascend a few steps, for he had served others. The spirit world of God was pleased with him, he had done the best he could according to the level of development at that time. But preparations are now made in the spiritual world for the future, and it is made clear to these ascending souls, this one life is not the end of it, for you have only been tested on a few things. Further tests will now come upon you. But these can only be imposed on you in a new time period, when development on earth has progressed further. You will enter a new epoch, a new phase of development, and you will have to pass through it. In the world beyond, however, this particular returned soul first had to be educated on the divine laws, the plan of salvation, the plan of order had to be explained to him, the plan of creation. The homecomer had to gain insight into Goda TMS order. And there was plenty of time to give him these teachings. He was also given insight into the advancement of humankind as well as into the advancement of beings in the beyond. He was allowed to survey the whole advancement. This is how he could be best instructed. But in the spiritual world, where one lives without material concerns, without physical impediments, afflictions, complaints, life is much easier. Yes, it is so well ordered. In the world beyond there is not this money that human beings have. This money that is bound up with so much blood, so many tears, so much filth, that this is unknown in the beyond. And because of this, so much evil is done away with. For it is this money that gives rise to so much strife. There are wars, conflicts both large and small, fraud, robbery, murder and the like, all because of money. And human beings burden themselves with this money when they do not know the balance they must maintain, when they do not properly understand what Christ said to that rich young man who came to him and asked what he would have to do to reach the kingdom of heaven. Christ answered him, "Sell everything, give away everything you have, follow me. Leave behind everything that seems valuable to you, and then come, follow me." And this young man went away sad. Matthew 19:16-22. And it is still the same today. Many people are unable to stay free of this earthly substance, of this matter, I say, stay free. It goes without saying that human beings need something to live on. But there is a tendency, an addiction to earthly wealth, be that money or other kinds of possessions, a simply earthly riches. If one sells an ETMS heart and soul for these riches, then one will not be led upward with a steady hand and a sure step in the divine world. Well, you can draw your own comparisons between life at that time and life today, and you can picture how the training of this soul proceeded. In the spiritual world, one has the prevision, one can foresee the future, one sees the fulfillment of the main development. One knows which stages will be fulfilled, which path of suffering human beings will have to traverse, the kind of catastrophes that will come over them. If they are unchangeable, they are firmly inscribed. But the spirit world of God also sees the progress that human beings will make through their technology, through their endeavors. Indeed, it sees what will happen many thousands of years in advance. It does not see all the details, but it recognizes the most important developments that are recorded in Goda TMS plan that serve humankind, TMS ascent and progress. And these will be fulfilled. Now, I explained that this soul was given insight into the development, into the ascent of human beings and also into the spiritual ascent in the beyond. He was also prepared for his new earthly life in accordance with this. It is made clear to all such souls whose last life lay so far in the past and who are now being prepared for a new life on earth that they must be instructed on the progress of human beings. Accordingly, the dangers that their future life will hold are pointed out to them. They are told, if you go about your work diligently in this coming life, you will not be rewarded for it this time, because it will have become a matter of course. But other tests will come upon you. You will, for example, be tested to see whether you are capable of administering Antha's wealth honestly. You will be tested to see whether you are a peaceable character. You will be tested on your tolerance, your humbleness, your kindness. This is what you must now prove in your new life. You must demonstrate that you are able to go through and pass these tests, for other conditions will prevail, other demands will be made of you. In your last life you were not in a position to administer the wealth of another, because such a situation simply never arose, because the people you lived with possessed nothing, but in your new life there is a possibility that you will be entrusted with Antha's wealth. And then you will see the temptation, it will come upon you. In your new life you will also be tested on the strength of your fidelity. Remaining faithful to your partner until death was a matter of course in your last life. But in your new life it will no longer be so, for the temptations are so great. So, these souls are made aware of the dangers. It is explained to them that the possibility of greed exists, that they may become selfish, and that they will be punished if they fail to withstand these temptations. And then these souls, who are being prepared for their next earthly life in the spiritual world, are given the opportunity to test themselves. This test may, for example, consist of such a soul, in accordance with their level of development, being temporarily entrusted with Anthe's property with the request that they preserve it, care for it as if it were their own, and then return it again. When it comes to such a test, there is also the possibility to temporarily entrust someone with something in the spiritual world, be that a precious object or be that Anthe's home, which they will have to look after and maintain. So, the spiritual world also has ways to provide tests. Alternatively, the spiritual world sends these souls as companions to human beings. It brings them to the gloss of the earthly world and would like to observe how they conduct themselves alongside human beings. The high spirit world will then choose the paths upon which they will bring this and that soul into their new earthly lives. The channels into which they will be led are then calculated, such that everything can be fulfilled. So, one such soul will perhaps pass several of their tests but fail in one of their main tests. And when they once again return to the spiritual world, they will be judged differently. They will be treated with greater strictness and severity. For if a human being has received much on earth, then God will also demand more of them. When you consider the fact that compared to earlier times people today can eat such a varied diet, that God has given human beings so many possibilities to live well, then you should receive all this with gratitude. But you should also be aware that you owe something to God. This debt consists of having to live according to the laws of God. This is the exchange, perhaps that is a better word than a debt. You have to present this exchange to God by obeying His laws, by bringing His holy will to expression. This is what God demands of human beings. In return He gives generously, in abundance. So, people of today must be clear on this. If they are allowed to have so many modern comforts, if this has been achieved and fought for by themselves and by their fellow human beings, then it is because God has allowed it, they are allowed to have it. But they must not become a slave to these comforts. They must not burden themselves with them. And when you see and experience all this great diversity, then you must realize that you yourselves also have much more to give and achieve than people did 1, 2, or 300 years ago, that God demands much more of human beings today than in the past. And it was the same with this soul I am telling you about. He was instructed so carefully, as I explained, and then he had to step into a new earthly life and face all these things. When this human being found himself in the midst of life, all these temptations came upon him. He was now tested on his tolerance, on his peaceableness, on his generosity, on his kindness, on his humbleness. He now had to prove himself capable of these things. For he had already been set small tests in the spiritual world, and he had been rebuked when he had not passed them, and he had been encouraged when necessary. He had, therefore, been carefully prepared for his earthly life. And if a soul has been prepared so painstakingly, then a corresponding amount will also be demanded of them as a human being. For the spirit world of God takes special care of those whom it expects to be capable of undertaking and fulfilling higher tasks. It will not impose great tasks on a weak person and expect them to fulfill them. Only little is demanded of those who are weak. And when you step among your peers, who would want to feel spiritually weak? Everyone wants to have acquired sufficient spiritual insights, everyone wants to be spiritually elevated. Well, then you must not forget that you also have much to accomplish. The spirit world not only demands the fulfillment of tasks in one particular field, you have to prove yourselves in all areas of virtuousness. It should not be that you fail in one particular field and succeed elsewhere, for you will then be unable to progress spiritually, you will remain at a standstill. And you will once again have to go through the same life, with similar conditions, and then prove that you are indeed capable of progressing upward. And when the spirit world of God is eager to bring a particular individual upward, great care is taken with every preparation for their new life. This brother now had to provide these proofs in his new earthly life. He did not, however, fulfill all of his tasks. And when he returned to the world beyond, he was reprimanded. He was told that much more had been demanded of him, for he had been prepared with great care and attention before his earthly life, and the life he had left behind had not turned out as expected. Following this painstaking preparation, he had not come through it as expected. When this soul returned home, he recognized what he had done wrong and was willing to make amends. But it was now a matter of purging the vices that he had absorbed into his soul during his last earthly life, his craving for earthly possessions, or this or that burden. So, such a soul must once again be tended to, that which the human being brought into disorder in life must now be put in order. And this is not always an easy path. It is sometimes painful for a returned soul to go through purification. For it is primarily a matter of ridding themselves of the burden that clings to them. And they cannot simply shake it off just because they are now in the world beyond and repentant, and because they see the might of God. They cannot simply shed this burden so easily. Only slowly are they released from this burden, only slowly do the insights come, the right insights. So, for some this takes a long time. They must pass through a hard purification before this insight reaches them and before they have made amends to some degree. Well, many who return fare just like this brother. Many souls are prepared so carefully for their new life and do not pass their tests as human beings. And when you now consider how many mistakes you are always being made aware of, how we explain time and again what you should and should not do, then this certainly has a meaning. If you are unable to grasp it today in your earthly life, the time will come when you do, but not in this world. But then the possibility to make rapid progress will not be as great as on this earth. That is the wonderful thing about this earthly life. Through it you can accelerate your ascent. Through this earthly life you have the opportunity to climb several levels in your ascent, you accelerate your upward flight. In the spiritual world itself, it is not possible to ascend so rapidly. You can see for yourselves how many temptations come upon you nowadays in all areas of your life, all the areas in which you have to prove yourselves. And when it is one day a question of being perfect, then one must pass every test. So, you can also see how hard the upward path is and how long. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have once again given you insight into these divine laws. My explanations should serve in giving you new impetus in your upward flight. You should recognize from them that we are close to you, that we are always ready to help and guide you. How many brothers, how many sisters have already been allowed to receive this blessing, this support in their lives? And we always rejoice to hear, "Ayo felt how I was guided. I felt how they stood by my side." We delight in this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, may the blessing of God strengthen you, may you be able to fulfill your tasks in your world. God bless you. Lecture by Spirit Teacher Joseph, received in German through the medium Beatrice Brunner at the Academy of Music in Zurich, the 27th of June 1964. In this lecture, an ascending spirit being describes the preparations for her upcoming earthly existence. "Ayo have already been taught by the angels about the life that awaits me and in which I do not want to come to a standstill in my ascent. I know about the dangers of such a standstill, because my faithful companion has explained them to me. There are temptations of every kind that subjugate human beings if they do not have a vigilant soul. So I want to become strong. For when the time comes and I stand facing my new life, what will I remember of my former efforts to be strong in soul?" Elizabeth, God bless you. My dear brothers and sisters, I was asked to speak to you this evening. Many human lives must be strung together before one is allowed to enter the highest heavens. Only slowly can one ascend, level by level. the human being with their successive lives, each of which holds meaning and significance for their spiritual ascent, can be compared to a young tree that, once you have planted it, must be supported and nurtured if it is to one day produce a yield, and only slowly, slowly will it grow in height with the passing of successive years. Storms may damage it if it is not protected from them. It is the same with human beings. Storms of life threaten them, and those who are not protected may sustain injury, which will have to be put right in a future life, and slowly does the ascent proceed. People of today are not aware of this. In my earthly lives of long ago, I had been a mother and usually had many children. All my past lives had been marked by hardship, sorrow, and trouble. But in each life I had worked my way out of this hardship, out of this trouble. I had always said yes to all the suffering, just as many others had done. One suffered in silence, endured in silence. This is what I did, and this is also what many others did. By doing so, I acquired merits in these past lives. As I told you, all my lives were accompanied by hardship and distress. But I had shown myself to be attentive and devoted. I had tried to do my best. I thus gained something from one life to the next. Learn my present state of bliss through all my sacrifice and devotion. I was to become ripe for the higher life through all the hardships, through the devotion and sacrifice. Not just ill alone, but at the same time others with me, they, too, had to grow in hardship and in poverty. For we had no share of the comfort that you human beings enjoy today. Our bread was not secure, we all lived from day to day. We all had to say yes to these lives, we had to be content with them and remain strong in faith. God tested us in this manner, me and innumerable others. All of us, that is to say, the great majority of us, came out of poverty. In these humble circumstances one cultivated faith in God. In this simple life one had to demonstrate neighborly love. One had to have kindness and understanding for others. Perhaps it was easy to have a strong faith in those days, to be modest, because poverty was all one knew. Most of the people with whom one lived were in the same condition of hardship or poverty. One did not attach value to a long life either, in the way that people do today. Yet many people had a more heartfelt faith. One hoped for a better life after laying aside an ETMS earthly body. A better world was supposed to open up, a more pleasant life was supposed to begin. One did not cling to life as people do today. After all, one did not have much to lose. But if one had a harmonious relationship with an ETMS relatives, then one said yes to life regardless. In this way, one also found joy in these modest lives. I am currently in the spiritual world and have already been taught by the angels about the life that awaits me and in which I do not want to come to a standstill in my ascent. I know about the dangers of such a standstill, because my faithful companion has explained them to me. Since my last life, so many have come out of this former poverty, and when they reincarnate they will, for the most part, have a more pleasant, more comfortable life. My spiritual guide educated me on this and said, "Ao, they have now a by which he meant those who had to live in this poverty, a been tested to see whether they were able, in spite of the great poverty, to be faithful to God, to live according to his laws, to serve their neighbor, to place themselves at their neighbor's disposal when the need arose. This is how God tested humankind, and it stood on a lower level of ascent at that time. In the upcoming, more pleasant life there was to be no more talk of hunger. There was to be fewer sorrows and problems. In this more comfortable, more pleasant life one would now have to prove that one is devoted to God, that what was learned previously has not been lost but rather is rooted within, that also in this more pleasant life one shows others the same kindness, the same contentment, humility, and goodness, the same understanding, amicability, and loyalty, that no temptations are able to displace all these virtues, and also that this nicer, more comfortable life is not able to hinder an ETMS ascent. The temptations of this more pleasant life place greater demands on human beings. People experiencing hardship and suffering are more able to walk together, to bear the suffering. They are more likely to support one another, because everyone is suffering and one looks to others who are suffering for help, support, and comfort. When no one has earthly wealth, when everyone just has their meager bread, when everyone suffers from physical ailments in later life, then one will not find fault with a near TMS neighbor. Instead, one draws closer to the other and gives better comfort, and the other sees that their fellow human being is faring no better and courageously bearing their suffering. It is the other way around in a pleasant life. Here, there is the danger that one looks to those who are better off, who have more earthly possessions. One has a different measure, a different standard. One cannot necessarily find comfort with those who are prosperous. For they have no time, they must chase after earthly possessions, they cannot take an interest in the suffering of others, they have no time, they must attend to their home and much else besides. So, the temptations are also much greater in a comfortable life. One is not so principled when it comes to loyalty. One is also not so scrupulous when it comes to honesty. Many, many more temptations lie in wait to bring about such a persona TMS fall than is the case in a simple, modest life. So it now depends on whether this person in their more comfortable life bravely overcomes the temptations. If not, they will not pass their life via TMS tests. If they are unable to be honest, if they are selfish, domineering, self-opinionated, if they do not take loyalty particularly seriously, if they are not conscientious, not truthful, then they gain nothing in this life and will remain at a standstill in their development. When they once again return to the spiritual world, they will be asked, "Ao, where are your merits? What did you accomplish?" And they are shown their previous life, in which they barely had a proper pair of shoes, and in this comfortable and pleasant life they had no idea how many pairs they owned and had trouble deciding which pair to put on. And, what is more, there was so much to eat, they had an abundance, whereas they previously had no more bread on the table for the next day. But the world of God demanded more of them in this comfortable life, that from a feeling of gratitude they should also have done something for God, given something. But they did not give in proportion to what they received. It will be explained to them, "Ao, the progress, the achievements of today are due to human beings at TM own past industriousness. It is through the hard work of human beings that development has reached its current stage, that this pleasant life has come about. God did not deny it them. God gave them the strength to prosper. But more is asked of them, and if they accomplish nothing or too little, then a future life will put them back in a situation where they will have to undo the damage. An individual may then be born into a very modest life again, perhaps into distress and suffering, and there they must once more try to say yes to it. They will have to make amends. I'd now been partially prepared for a new earthly life. I had been made aware of all the key information. I wanted to exert myself, my soul is to remain awake, for when the time eventually comes I would like to enter my new earthly life strengthened. For the present, however, the spirits of God have allowed me to take the path to human beings as a spirit, to observe them, to stay with them, in order to test myself to see whether I am strong enough to maintain this vigilance of soul. So, I am led from one home to another, and I make my observations in order to learn from them. I see how some homes leave much to be desired. The good life has become detrimental to these human beings as far as their spiritual progress is concerned. They live in conflict, they have no understanding for one another, they cannot bear one another. So, my soul wants to be vigilant. But I leave one such home of disharmony and enter one of contentment. I have to search for a long time, however, before I find the kind of peace that exists in my heaven. I want to remain vigilant and observe human beings. I desire to walk alongside those people who manage to maintain a heart full of goodness in a comfortable life. I want to be vigilant, I want to place my hands in theirs when it is a matter of learning to be helpful. I want to interest myself in the peace of the world, in order to be strong when I'm human again. So, I travel from home to home. I have permission to do so. I am often accompanied by exalted spirits of God, who educate me. I also listen to the conversations of human beings, what idle chatter they often engage in. So it is quite understandable that I like to stay with these human beings who are spiritual friends. They should be spiritual friends who have better insights than many others and who do not say no to a connection with us, those who know about the influence of good and evil spirits. But the world.God demanded more of them than this comfortable light, that from a feeling of gratitude they should also have done something toward, given something. But they did not give in proportion to what they received. It will be explained to them, he progress. The achievements of today are due to human beings at their own past industriousness. It is through the hard work of human beings that development has reached its current stage, that this pleasant life has come about. God did not deny it them. God gave them the strength to prosper. But more is asked of them, and if they accomplish nothing or too little, then a future life will put them back in a situation where they will have to undo the damage. An individual may then be born into a very modest life again, perhaps into distress and suffering, and there they must once more try to say yes to it, they will have to make amends. A thod now been partially prepared for a new earthly life. I had been made aware of all the key information. I wanted to exert myself, my soul is to remain awake, for when the time eventually comes I would like to enter my new earthly life strengthened. For the present, however, the spirits of God have allowed me to take the path to human beings as a spirit, to observe them, to stay with them, in order to test myself to see whether I am strong enough to maintain this vigilance of soul. So, I am led from one home to another, and I make my observations in order to learn from them. I see how some homes leave much to be desired. The good life has become detrimental to these human beings as far as their spiritual progress is concerned. They live in conflict, they have no understanding for one another, they cannot bear one another. So, my soul wants to be vigilant. But I leave one such home of disharmony and enter one of contentment. I have to search for a long time, however, before I find the kind of peace that exists in my heaven. I want to remain vigilant and observe human beings. I desire to walk alongside those people who manage to maintain a heart full of goodness in a comfortable life. I want to be vigilant, I want to place my hands in theirs when it is a matter of learning to be helpful. I want to interest myself in the peace of the world, in order to be strong when I'm human again. So, I travel from home to home. I have permission to do so. I am often accompanied by exalted spirits of God, who educate me. I also listen to the conversations of human beings, what idle chatter they often engage in. So it is quite understandable that I like to stay with these human beings who are spiritual friends. They should be spiritual friends who have better insights than many others and who do not say no to a connection with us, those who know about the influence of good and evil spirits. But even such spiritual friends are often ignorant of fundamental questions and frequently say things to which we would so dearly like to object. In their great zeal they would like to force all of humankind to this spiritual knowledge. They forget that everyone progresses from stage to stage, and many are not yet ready to understand this language. We listen to conversations in which people say, why does not the good spirit world prevent evil? Why does it allow such things? Why does not it intervene? Why does not it help the scientists in such a way that the spiritual ascent proceeds more rapidly? And no, none of that. The earth was created through God's goodness and holiest will, so that the ascending spirit has a place here to work their way up as a human being. If they are to subdue the earth, they must accomplish something and prove themselves. They themselves must prevent much and research many things. If the Holy Spirit world receives the order to intervene from on high, then it will do so. These spiritual friends must be told time and again, "Ao, never forget that the world of God is a world of order and obedience. Everyone who is integrated in this order has to show obedience. If a crime were to happen somewhere and a spiritual friend then demanded that one should find out how it transpired in a spiritual way, then I would have to say to you, for an ascending spirit who is active in the divine order, this is an unreasonable demand. Indeed, to make such an unreasonable demand of us would be like you asking a peaceful person to get involved in a conflict between two neighbors, to take sides with one of them, and to give the other a beating. A peaceful person would be appalled by such a request. On the other hand, I observed quarrelsome spirit beings who did not require much prompting to go and inflame an argument between human beings. What kind of spirit beings are these? They are those who have not yet reached a high spiritual level. But when a spirit is on the ascent to the heavenly heights, it is unreasonable to ask that they should interest themselves in such happenings among human beings. It would be a different matter if the high spirit world were to assign such a spirit the task, "Ao, go and clear up the injustice, make use of a human being as an instrument to do so." "Ao, then, if the ordinance comes from above, the request can be fulfilled." But this is not decided by an ascending spirit who adheres to the plan of order. To be sure, one could perhaps recruit a spirit who stands outside of the order, an unintegrated spirit, to interest themselves in such sordid matters as a crime and to provide information about it, but by doing so they hinder their own ascent. A good spirit has nothing to do with such things, and to make such a request of them is highly inappropriate. In addition to this, we also hear spiritual friends say that science could be of much greater service to humankind if only the spirit world with its superior insights would better direct and inspire it. Here, again, it is the same. A spirit who stands in the divine order strictly adheres to the laws of the spiritual world, and without the authorization of higher beings they will not take an interest in the research of human beings. Only when the higher world of God permits it may this happen, and spirits can then be tasked with guiding and inspiring such a human being, but the responsibility then rests with the human being doing the research and not the spirit. If it is Goda TMS will, the human being can be guided without being aware of it, they can receive inspiration. But human beings must work everything out for themselves on earth. Only with great zeal and dedication do they bring about an advancement that is useful to them. It has been determined that human beings must work everything out for themselves by their own efforts. God gives them the strength. But human beings should come closer to God through all these achievements. And there are undoubtedly some who find God precisely in this progress. But there are also so many who turn away from him because they have a different notion, because they impose conditions, because they are unable to see and feel in the way they would wish. It should be obvious to a person with a clear mind that the world of God is interested in the spiritual ascent of human beings and not primarily in enhancing their external wealth. It would like to see human beings showing understanding when dealing with their neighbors. It would like to be able to detect in them a greater gratitude toward God. But it will also place other demands on human beings than it did in the past. At the time when I lived, one was rewarded in the spiritual world if one was fully devoted to an ETMS family, and one could ascend as a result. Today, that is no longer enough. The greater the achievements enjoyed by human beings, the greater is their responsibility and the greater the demands that the world of God places on them. When they cross over, they will be told, "Ao, you never had to suffer hunger, you never had to worry about where to lie down to sleep. You had a pleasant home, you had a comfortable life, you did not have to endure long hours of darkness, you had light even after nightfall. You always had light, people did not have that in the past." This is how such people are spoken to. The comforts, the advantages they had in life, so many of which people lacked in the past, are listed for them. And some may have to be told, Ayo, in your previous, simple life you were content with two sets of clothes and managed to achieve more. You now had a more comfortable life and made it unbearable for yourself and those you lived with. You argued with them, you were selfish, domineering, and stingy. Many who return to the spiritual world in this manner often take a long time to understand everything, and not everyone can be told what they were and what they had in their previous life. Many are left in ignorance of it, and they are simply told where they will have to live in future and what they have to put in order. One must be lenient with those who are coming up from below. But those who know the spiritual language are not treated with such leniency, because more is demanded of them. They know how things work, and they cannot conceal anything nor claim, "Ayo, didn't EMT know, I didn't EMT believe." A judgment is made accordingly. So, have given you a general explanation. But I also indicated that my desire is to be vigilant, because before I am born into human life, I would like to be strengthened in my soul. And so I am led, and go from one home to another. I am searching for my friends. You are also my friends, for I belong to you. In this way, I want to become strong. For when the time comes and I stand facing my new life, what will I remember of my former efforts to be strong in soul? I will live like a stranger among human beings. I will be a stranger and will once again have to acquire everything myself. But if I stay vigilant, this vigilance will remain in me. It will not even be displaced by my earthly body, for my desire will penetrate the outer human being. I will thus find the way again, and walk toward my ascent. I am aware of how hard it is to live a human life. There are temptations of every kind that subjugate human beings if they do not have a vigilant soul. One must be permeated by this divine power. One will be rewarded with this power for striving to maintain this vigilance. This I have been promised. Until then, the progress of human beings will march on, and even more will be demanded of human beings who will be born 100 or more years from now, even greater accomplishments in spiritual terms. But not everyone stands on the same level. There will still be plenty of human beings who suffer hunger and live in great hardship. And there will also be plenty of human beings who return to this life with a great burden in order to make amends for what they previously incurred. But it is something wonderful that, again and again, everyone is given the opportunity to make amends. Well, some make amends, others act with indifference, others fight for their ascent. And so it will certainly continue in the same rhythm for a long time yet. I myself seek a connection with human beings in order to remain alert, and I have permission to do so, for I am in the company of divine beings. This from 3 Feb. 1970. Next is, Len, the 18th of November 1970, excerpt How Spirit Beings Are Encouraged Prior to Human Incarnation. Spirits of God have the possibility to give their ascending brothers and sisters a view into the future and to show them what a beautiful world awaits them if they fulfill their tasks in earthly life and enable their spiritual spark to emanate a greater radiance. Their future abode and occupation can be presented to them visually. Len, dear brothers and sisters, when you come here with the desire to listen to me, I always ask you to try to escape this world. I do not want to speak to materialistic and earthbound human beings, for they are unable to understand my language. And it is also not so easy for me to relate to these materialistically minded human beings. That is why I must say time and time again, lay all of this aside, even if only for 1 hour. Try to raise yourselves, try to direct your thoughts upward. For the time being, turn away completely from your everyday concerns, from everything that binds you to this world. Do not think about business matters. After all, tomorrow is another day that will anyway demand your attention. Do not concern yourselves with what will happen tomorrow. Concern yourselves rather with what I now have to say to you. Your soul will benefit from it. I know this is not easy. I can well say it, But for one person or another it is difficult to shake off the day-to-day, the earthly concerns, and to enter another world in spirit. You will benefit only if you are really able to follow all of my words. My language is, after all, not the language of human beings living here. I do not have concepts as you know them. I address the soul and speak of that other world, of which I can only speak to you. You are unable to see it, and so I try to establish a connection with this, for you, invisible world. I try to make it clear to you. If I may now discuss the preparations for a human life, how fearful an individual is when they realize they are going to be incarnated again. It can well be said that this fear is particularly strong in the case of those who are really striving for their spiritual ascent. Those ascending out of the depths have less fear, or none at all, because for them a new incarnation may be their deliverance. Indeed, they may be living here or they're in bitter distress, and they are glad to leave this distress behind. They say to themselves, "Is carnitiam get any worse for me? Things can only improve for me when I enter human incarnation. A because once they have been in the spiritual world for a few decades, according to your notions of time, they no longer have an accurate understanding of what happens in this world. Indeed, they are also held back, they are not allowed to go among human beings, one would rather educate them in the spiritual world, mainly about that which is higher, divine, everlasting. They are also told about the tasks they will have to fulfill in a new earthly life, they are told about the great hopes one has for them, and about the benefits a human life can bring. This gives confidence, new incentive, new hope, particularly to those who dwell in the lowest levels. So, some wish for this incarnation, others resist it. I would now like to take a step upward, let us say, to those spirit brothers and sisters who stand on a middling level of ascent. There, one frequently speaks about the preparations that are made for such brothers and sisters. They are familiarized with the new earthly life. First and foremost, however, a transformation from spiritual into physical must once again take place. The necessary conditions must be created to enable them to take on human incarnation. They are thus led into the appropriate channels, so that they are enveloped and influenced by the force aura that will be decisive for their future life. One does not simply send a spirit being into a new earthly life without any preparations. There is a wonderful order in the spiritual world. The laws are adhered to meticulously, with each and every individual. If someone is now at the midpoint of their spiritual development, and when I speak of the midpoint, I mean the midpoint they have attained in order that afterward, in the second half, they will not necessarily have to take on a human life anymore, if they have indeed reached this midpoint, one can speak with such a spirit in an entirely different manner than with one who is on a much lower level. As a rule, such a spirit is interested in the human life that awaits them. Some brothers and sisters are very afraid and anxious because they fear they may not live up to the expectations placed on them. Others, by contrast, are very optimistic and full of courage. They even hold the view that they will accomplish a great deal through an earthly life. Well, here also it can be seen that such spirit brothers and sisters, in contrast to us, do not see clearly. So, we discuss the future with them. We have the life plan of such spirit brothers and sisters in front of us, that is, the record of their past. From this record we are able to discern their characteristics, their virtues, their vices, their goodwill or ill will, their optimism or their pessimism. These are all things that we take into consideration and that run like a thread through all human lives, but also in spirit these brothers and sisters are marked by their idiosyncrasies. Based on their previous earthly life and their merits in the spiritual world, we are able to arrive at a fairly accurate idea of what may be expected of them. We then tell the individual that if they manage to fulfill these expectations, they will reach a place in the spiritual realm, which they have already gotten to know, where they will find particular delight and be permitted a special, blissful life. or they will be taken to a place where great work still awaits them and where they will have to continue proving themselves. I would now like to tell you precisely how we explain this to them. When we are immersed in such preparations with these spirit brothers and sisters, we also let them see and recognize their own spiritual spark. They are then able to see, as though looking into a mirror, how radiant or murky their spiritual spark still is. We can then say to a particular individual, "Oh, if you make this divine spark shine just a little more brightly during your life, you will reach this place." We then describe the world they may enter, we present it to them visually. And we also show them the place they may enter if their spiritual spark attains a greater radiance. Here, too, we show them their future abode. And then we show them their future dwelling place should this spiritual spark gain an especially significant radiance. We show all this to them and explain, "Ayo, this is where you will go if your spiritual spark shines so brightly, and this is where you will go if it shines even brighter, and this is where you will go if it has attained a brilliant radiance." A, according to their merits, according to the gains they make in earthly life, their spiritual spark will also change. It can increase in radiance, or it will retain its murkiness. We show it to them, just as it is today possible for you to see something on a screen. We can show them an image of an elevated plane, we can give them a glimpse of the life and work in a higher world. They do not personally experience this other world, but they are allowed a glimpse of this world, a look into the future. We show it to them. This is advantageous because they become more eager and courageous, and they really want to achieve something and gain something in life. So, we prepare such a spirit for earthly life and do not simply send them into a foreign world where they will then have to work. Though they may take a very long time to become familiar with this new environment, in that, as a spirit, they grow into this new world and very slowly unite with it, we do educate them. We tell them about the difficulties that are to be expected, but we also speak about the helpfulness they can expect from us. We must not, however, conceal the fact that human beings are also subject to another kind of influence. We must therefore say to them that it is difficult for a human being who is estranged from God and from the spiritual, divine world, to take in the language that is spoken and the guidance they are given. It is difficult to sense it at all, because the feelings of these human beings are of such a coarse nature. They are overly preoccupied with the world in which they live. It must be made clear to them that this other, divine world of an ethereal nature has an entirely different way of communicating. The call of this other world cannot be heard by the human being who is bound to the earthly world, for their ear is attuned to that which is earthly, to the coarseness of the world, and not to that which is ethereal, to that which is higher. As you yourselves know, these are completely different vibrations. I would say that they are unable to feel their way into the higher world, into these tones, into the higher vibrations. It is too distant for them. But if a human being has faith in God within themselves, if they have furnished their soul with a certain nobility, or have always possessed it, then this refinement will emanate from their soul. The soul will open a path for them that will enable them to find the way to this higher world. Way megaphonia is thus created for them. This is putting it somewhat crudely, but it makes it more understandable for you. We want to establish a direct connection from this higher world to human beings. We want. Now listen to what I tell you, and hear what I expect of you. Let us consider the human being. You will now think, "Ayo, we already know something about this subject, and we will be glad to enrich our knowledge of it." A, to think like this is all well and good, but for us it is actually insufficient when you merely enrich your knowledge without improving anything about yourselves. It is hollow, we are not particularly delighted by it. That is why we are sometimes restrained and have absolutely no desire to satisfy your curiosity. When I now speak to you and say that this preparation took place in the divine world and that one angel in particular got to know you and offered you friendship, it means just this: "Ayo, want to try my utmost to be in contact with you. I want to come to you, but I hope you will hear me. After all, the distance is great. Will you actually hear my words? Will your earthly eye be able to see into these distant realms, and will your ear be so fine that you hear the most delicate tones? It is doubtful. A and the angel continues, Ayo, the words we have to say to you may also be very weighty. Well, you now stand at the midpoint, let us say, I now raise you somewhat higher, I said that you stand at the midpoint, and we now wish to send you as an ambassador of God to your fellow brothers and sisters in this earthly world. You shall work as an ambassador of God. A yes, as an ambassador of God, this does not mean that they simply go about preaching faith in God and drawing their fellow human beings attention to God. Rather, an ambassador has the task of diplomatically presenting the will and the wishes of the government from which they have come. They desire to achieve something with their fellow human beings to whom they must go. They wish to connect with them, and they try to present their government's wishes. It is exactly the same with a divine ambassador. When we tell someone, Ayo, you shall now become a divine ambassador, this also means that we will carefully educate and train this ambassador in advance, so that they know what their office as an ambassador of God entails. To be an ambassador of God means to work in the name of the authority from which one has come and from which one has received the commission. One sets forth and takes up the post of ambassador. To be an ambassador of God does not mean being a fanatical, overbearing person, one who wants to achieve something at all costs and who tries to expound something and impose it on others by force, so to speak, in order that they believe what they are told. No, as a human being, an ambassador of God shall be the kind of person who also commands the necessary respect. An ambassador of God will not be recognized by their fellow human beings as one who was sent forth with such a commission. They need not be dressed in an especially distinguished way, decorated with ribbons and medals and such like, so that everyone knows who they are. On the contrary, ambassadors of God are discreet people. One cannot tell who they are, where they come from, and what kind of office they hold. But they should be looked upon as people with a certain dignity, a spiritual nobility, a spiritual serenity, and a refined nature in every respect. These are ambassadors of God. They may be entirely modest human beings. It really is not necessary that they occupy an elevated position in earthly terms. In order that people believe them, they do not require any special titles, nor do they need to have come from an especially wealthy family. Oh no, dear friends, this does not require any special worldly reputation. There are divine ambassadors who are so modest and who live as simple human beings, people do not recognize them and pass them by. After all, these divine ambassadors do not outwardly conform to what human beings expect. Human beings have their own particular notions. A divine ambassador can truly be a very simple person who has within themselves so many exalted virtues. And they cannot simply reveal these exalted virtues because they live a secluded life and have far too little contact with human beings. They live in such great humbleness that they do not particularly stand out. People may well say, Ayo, he or she is a good, humble person, and leave it at that. But it does not occur to them that they could learn something from this ambassador of God, precisely on account of their modesty, their simplicity. Indeed, the divine world is a world that is not as loud as yours. And it is not only human beings who would like to promote the kingdom of God by demonstrating how modestly one can go through life, it is the world of God itself that arranges these preparations with those who stand at the midpoint. Be attentive. Direct your ear to that which is higher, to our world. Direct your human eye also to higher things. Remove the veil that shrouds your earthly eye. Give your earthly eye the spiritual clarity, that you may have clear spiritual sight. See to it that your ear is refined, that it may hear only what is pure and relays only what is deemed meaningful by the world of God, by the kingdom of God. Be careful of what you say. Do not speak for the world. The world is nothing, it is transient, it is evil. Speak in such a way that your words will be heard over in eternity. Try to align yourself with the eternal life. Do not foster your ambition, your domineeringness, your craving for prestige. Much rather live in harmony with that world that is so far away and about which one hears relatively little. Align yourself with that distant world. Try to stretch out your hands to it. You should not savor the transient gloss to the utmost. Let your eye clarify, let it become pure. Turn inward, you can also see within. To be sure, this is more difficult. To see outwardly, to live outwardly is, by contrast, a small matter, requiring no effort. But to turn inward is difficult, for the path is much longer. To turn inward takes much longer. The way there is long, the distance great. And one struggles to hear what is spoken within. We address the inner human being, not the outer human being. No, we have no need of that. We do not need to address the outer human being, for they are surrounded by too much music and too much noise to be able to hear our words. We have to be able to captivate them inwardly, we have to attempt to direct their eyes inward and to turn their ear inward. For there is a dwelling place within them. Their soul should be a dwelling place of God, as it is said, O Christ wants to dwell with the Father within the human being. He wants to take up residence. And, O the kingdom of God is within the human being. A John 14:23, Luke 17:21, so, it is within, and not round you. To experience this kingdom of God within is not so easy. One must first be able to discover that the kingdom of God is within, in order to turn inward and live accordingly. Because from within comes that which is refined, comes the quiet word, from within comes the clear sight, the good, righteous word. From within, emanating out. These are two great, different things. One should carry the kingdom of God within oneself, have it within, inwardly delight in it and outwardly live it. If one manages to do so, then what the angel said during the preparations will come to pass. If you reach the highest point that we hope to expect of you, your spark will have this radiance. This will then be your future abode. AI. Excerpt from a lecture by Spirit Teacher Len, received in German through the medium Beatrice Branner in the hall on Minkaldenstrasse in Zurich, the 18th of November 1970, - Joseph, Questions and Answers from 1952 to 1966 Questions and Explanations. Dear Joseph, from your teachings it seems to me that spirit beings who have already attained a certain level in their ascent often express the wish to fulfill a special task in their upcoming new earthly life. Joseph, yes, depending on their progress and depending on the world in which they have lived, that is the case. But there are also beings who have to be compelled to reincarnate. They are those who do not progress in the spiritual world, who do not want to integrate into God a TMS order, who are unruly. These beings are led into incarnation with the use of gentle force, and as human beings they will then have particular fates to bear. But they, too, will be accompanied by a special spiritual force. And, still, so much depends on themselves and develops out of their own free will. Once a spirit being has reached the higher planes, they see all the places where misery prevails, and they recognize the necessity of the fulfillment of Goda TMS plan of salvation. They will then feel strong enough to take on a substantial task in the plan of salvation for the benefit of human beings. Many spirits in the higher planes are thus allowed to return to earthly life with special missions and tasks. But this is denied to those who dwell in the lower levels and who are not yet permeated by obedience, by bliss, and in whose cases the possibility that they would be able to fulfill such missions is lacking from the outset. So, everything is always assessed in each individual case. You, dear friends, have absolutely no idea about all this, no conception. Time and again I have to describe God's order to you, this wonderful, glorious order in the spiritual world. But this order can exist only because the more advanced beings watch over the others. Indeed, They are all integrated in their various spheres, planes, and worlds corresponding to their spiritual development. And, in turn, these planes contain so many levels, which are watched over and ordered by legions of faithful angels. 1954. Dear Joseph, how long does a soul's stay in the spiritual world generally last between death and their next reincarnation? Joseph, the duration of a soul's stay in the spiritual world also varies. It may take between 100 and 500 years before they are reincarnated. It may take 1,000 years. There are no stipulations here that allow one to say it takes so and so long. This all happens according to the laws of God, just as He commanded that these souls be incarnated again. If, for example, a soul is not progressing in their development in the spiritual world, has no way of coming closer to God, it may be that God at His grace commands them to return to this earth after only 20 years. In general, however, most souls today are reincarnated after 300 to 500 years. But I want to stress that it is not a general rule that all souls have to stay in the world beyond for so and so long. This also proceeds in accordance with their spiritual development. 1952, 11. A question and answer session in 1966. Spirit teacher Joseph gave the following supplementary explanation regarding these time frames. Today, development is promoted. One is keen that development proceeds more quickly. Especially when wars rage over this earth, there is a more rapid, a quicker reincarnation. Does a mother influence her child during pregnancy? Joseph, you know, dear friends, that like attracts like. In large part, the stations of a human being at EMS fate are mapped out, but their fate can be altered during their life. A change may take place for their benefit, such that they do not have to bear their predetermined fate in all its severity if they have proven their loyalty to God and are leading a righteous life. The same applies to an expectant mother who knows what tasks await her, who cares for her own health as well as for the life that is to come. That is her duty. By living sensibly, life can be prolonged. These who live irresponsibly, let us say by excessive consumption of alcohol, nicotine and so forth, harm their physical body and their spirit body. A human being has so many ways to keep their body healthy, but also to damage it. This, therefore, also has an influence on the life that is to come, insofar as the expectant mother does everything that is good for her body. Something is achieved by this alone. Those who simply live rashly, who regardless of all these things show their body no care, harm both themselves as well as the life that is to come. Thus, an expectant mother expanses not only herself but also the infant's little body either to the currents that carry diseases or to those divine forces that also benefit the infant's little body. But now comes the other aspect that can be influenced, the spiritual aspect. If an expectant mother tries especially hard during this time to live in goodness and leads a truly Christian life, that is, she also overcomes and asks for special spiritual protection for herself and her child, then she can be steered into those channels where she will receive more grace and gifts than a human being who lives carelessly, with whom the predetermined fate has to be fulfilled. A mother can thus influence a lot, she has the possibility to receive more. If she does not inquire into these possibilities, if she just lives carelessly, then the predetermined fate will perhaps be fulfilled in such a manner that the mother has lifelong difficulties with the raising and care of the child. When the spirit world of God is allowed to intervene in this respect and is able to soften this fate, it will do so because the human being has made an effort and prayed for it, or because they are performing a great deed that obtains them such a reward. So, in this sense, one could indeed speak of an influence. The human being has the possibility to turn to where divine blessing comes from and to do the will of God so that their fate can be mitigated. But they can also neglect to inquire into this, their fate will then be fulfilled in the manner that is mapped out for them. A good mother attracts good forces. A careless woman attracts forces of a corresponding nature, And she will then have to bear the fate that she was assigned from the beginning. 1955.